Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. With me today is Jennifer Oliphant. Jennifer is a former LSAT Demon student, and she is here to talk about how to be a successful LSAT Demon student. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Maybe you could just tell a little bit of your story. I don't know, your background, where you, when you first started thinking about the LSAT, how your LSAT prep went. I mean, you just go. It's on you.
So I guess 2021, I was just thinking about what my next step in my life would be. And my youngest is getting ready to start school. And I always wanted to go to law school, but it just didn't seem like something that made sense for us, for our life. And then as we were looking at this new chapter in our life, I thought, you know, everything else that I look at that I want to do doesn't make sense to me. I love school. I love learning. If I could just be a professional student, that's what I would do. And my brother-in-law, who's a lawyer, said, you really should look into law school. And I thought, that's interesting, because that's something I wanted to do when I was much younger. And so I looked into it and thought, yeah, that sounds like something I really could enjoy doing, which I guess makes me weird. But I figured the first step would be to take the LSAT and see what I could do there. I started listening to your podcast in October, which is when I, not knowing anything, just took the LSAT in October. I had practiced for, I want to say, like 2 months with Khan Academy, and just took the LSAT in October. I started listening to your podcast about a week before I took it and thought, wow, I really should not have signed up for this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just went ahead and took it. Everybody seems to talk about the LSAT like it's just the most important thing ever. And it's just so hard, and you have to be so serious about it, and you have to be so strict. And it just psyched me out so much. And when I like, this is the most important test you'll ever take in your entire life. And so when I actually took the test, I mean, my heart was pounding. I was like shaking and felt like I couldn't even think straight because I was so stressed out about it. And so as soon as I finished it, I thought, I'm going to take this again. I don't know when I'm going to take it again, but I signed up for the Demon Free account, and I started through all of that material and just thought, where has this been? Like, where was this approach? It's just so straightforward. There's nobody was having me go through into like formal reasoning and contrapositives. And I mean, I could figure that out. I kind of understood what they said, but it just seemed like extra steps I didn't need to take. That was just more often than not confusing me. And so once I started with LSAT Demon, things started to really click with me. I started to get games. I still really sucked at them. But I could complete the games. And if I had unlimited amount of time, I could get them all right, but it would take me like an hour and a half, but at least I knew where to start. I knew what I was doing. I wish that I had started with the live account. Is that the
live is the top level of subscription where you get all the live classes? Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had started with that. I had the mindset that I would do the basic. And then once I got through with that, I would move up. And then right before I took the LSAT again in February, about a month before that, I started a premium account. And I went to a class with you and asked you a question about games or something. I don't even remember what my question was, but you just said to me to read the whole prompt in the LSAT games. Before I start writing anything down, just read the entire thing all the way through and understand it. And that was a complete game changer for me. That changed everything, because I had been just, because I think what it was is I started, once I started diagramming, once I started writing stuff down, I felt like I didn't have any more flexibility in my brain. Like I would think I knew where it was going, and I would have it kind of, I'd even go to the point of writing it on paper, like, oh, this is going to do this, or I'm going to put this over here and this over here. And then I would get to the end and I'd already put everything in its place. But if I read it all the way through first, then I had the mental flexibility to adjust the way I looked at the game. And so I went from reading it and writing as I go to reading it all the way through once, and then thinking about it for a second, reading it again and diagramming. And it changed everything for me. That 2 weeks was like so much change for me just in logic games. And I feel like if I had started with live, I might have benefited from being able to ask questions and being able to get little things like that. and used all of that through all of my practicing instead of practicing on my own and then getting a tip right before I took the test.
Yeah, that's our general advice, is that if you're not sure, right, if you're going to do the self-study options, you know, the basic or the premium account for a while, and you're going to do the live account for a while with all of the live classes on Zoom, we always recommend people do the live first. So just like try 1 month of live, come to a bunch of classes, ask us a whole bunch of questions. And I do think that you'll have moments like that where we just change your whole way of approaching the test. And then if you decide to downgrade to basic or to premium and just use it as a self-study tool, now you'll have a much better foundation and you'll get more out of your time, more out of your self-study.
Yeah, absolutely. I really wish I had done that. It still really worked for me, but I feel like it would have been more linear progress. Like I would have progressed a lot faster and I would have felt more confident with it if I had started.
So you took the official test in February?
Yes, I took the official test in February and I got a 177.
Wow.
It was super exciting. Kind of blew my mind a little bit, but it opened the whole world for me. So now I'm trying to figure out what I actually want to do. Instead of thinking like, could I go to law school? The question is like, what law school do I want to go to? And what full ride scholarship do I want to take? Which is just a completely different world that I'm in now. Yeah, it's exciting and kind of overwhelming to have options. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm super grateful, but it is a little overwhelming.
It's a good problem to have, you know, it's always a happy, I can feel the stress from people when they're looking at all their offers and they're like, now what do I do? I've got $1 million of scholarship offers on the table. Now what do I do? And it's like, well, you know, you're going to have to turn down 900,000 of those dollars. But
I never imagined that would be my problem to have. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
And okay. I don't think that I'm anything special. I really don't. I think that the things that I got from LSAT Demon that really changed things for me was, first of all, like the attitude towards the LSAT. The couple of months leading up to taking the test in February and listening to the podcast, listening to you guys just talk about the LSAT, like it's just no big deal. It's just a test. It's not that big of a deal. And the mantra of like, it's just another practice test. It's not a book. I can just take it again. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That changed everything for me. It seems like that's an unusual attitude in this space. And it changed everything for me. I feel like maybe some people need to make the LSAT seem like bigger and scarier and harder than it is because it justifies their existence. Maybe, I don't know. I'm making stuff up, but the attitude of just the LSAT's just the LSAT. It's just another test. It doesn't determine my value as a person. And even if I screw up the test, I'll just take it again. It's not a big of a deal.
I mean, I say both things, right? I say all the time that the LSAT is easy and that it should be a fun, easy game for you. And eventually you got to that point, right, Jennifer? It was a fun, easy game on the day of the test. I say that. And I say, it's just another practice test and it's no big deal and don't give the test too much power. But it's also a fact that it is probably the most important test you'll ever take in your entire life. And it is worth $100,000 or more and the full launch trajectory of your legal career. I mean, it's super, super important. But nonetheless, law schools only care about your highest score. The content of the test itself is pretty easy once you like realize that it's easy. And if they only care about your highest one, then you've got, you know, 5 shots at it. So there's no value in like making it a stress bomb that it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. And that was so helpful for me. I think that changed a lot for me. And just the idea that I could just spend an hour every day. I would get up before my kids and study and focus. And then I would just let it go. I had to do that with the games. I had to be nobody in the room with me, really focused. Yeah. With the logical reasoning, that was always my best section to begin with. But I would practice that a lot when I was, you know, waiting in my car for a prescription or something like that. I would pull up the app on my phone or the website and practice that. And then I would just think about it and toss around the explanations. I read the explanations or watched the videos every time. Even if I wasn't 100% sure and I knew why I was right, I would read it or watch the video.
Did you ever use the ask button?
I did a couple times. Yeah. And most of the time the answer was, well, read it closely. I think you missed the word. And then I would feel really stupid and be like, oh yeah, if I had read three more paragraphs, I would have realized what my problem was because you already answered my question. But everybody was super polite and super nice about it. But usually it was just me failing to read carefully.
Hey, I for 15 years, I've half of what I say is read it again. No, that's not what that says. It's not what that means. Read it again. Oh yeah, you got it. And then they're like, what? That's all there is to it. Yeah, that's all there is to it. It's easy, really.
And I could play logic games every day. Like that went to something that almost gave me a panic attack when I would start to read it to being something that I would do for fun. It's like Wordle or I don't know, other games like that. Like it's genuinely super fun.
100%.
I don't think I ever in a million years would have gotten there without the demon.
Amazing. Any advice for demon students?
Be honest with yourself, I think. I think you can make yourself really comfortable by telling yourself, oh, yeah, I got that. Or oh, I just misread that. Or I don't know, like little things that we do to comfort ourselves that it was just this or it was just that. I think learning how to be like kind to yourself, but at the same time, brutally honest. Like I should have read that correctly. I need to do better next time instead of kind of giving yourself a pass. Like, oh, I just misread it. It's no big deal. If I'd read it, I would have gotten it right.
Yeah.
But like, of course, if I'd read it correctly, I'd get it right. But I didn't read it correctly. And that's the problem. And I need to address that as an actual problem. I found myself being a little dishonest to myself in the beginning. And and sometimes it felt like when I listened to your podcast, like you guys were talking directly to me, like, I don't know, like stop your bullshit. And I'd be like, oh, fine. but it worked. I appreciate it. I mean, I needed someone to call me out on it. So I found it super, super helpful.
That's awesome. Anything else?
I love the worlds in games. If people haven't experienced doing games using worlds, man, start there. That's a total paradigm shift. But if you've used any other, because it's just so easy. It just, you don't even have to think about the rules anymore. It's just, you know, everything else that I had used to learn games was, you know, diagramming so many things and like writing down the contrapositive, like if, I don't know, if this book is on the top shelf, then this book is on the second shelf. Well, once that book is on the top shelf, you know, if it's not on the top shelf, you don't even have to think about that anymore. You don't need to make a whole diagram for when it's not on that top shelf. You just let it go. You know, I don't know if that made any sense, but man, worlds just simplifies everything so much. You only have to write down what matters. And it was a total game changer for me because my biggest problem with games before worlds really clicked for me was that my diagrams were too complicated. I had too much to look at because I had, you know, I had a diagram for every possible scenario, it seems like, and worlds just simplified it. It was really easy to look at. I spent a little bit more time making it because I was really precise in making my diagrams.
Good.
But once those were made, man, the questions were just instant. I mean, I knew it. I knew the game. I could answer the questions right away. So if anybody's listening and they haven't really figured out worlds, I think that is worth your time. It's worth your attention. Watch the videos, go to the classes about world building. It is like that changed everything for me. I think I've said that like 10 times, but I had a lot of changing happening over the course of those months, lots of paradigm shifting. It was pretty fantastic.
That's amazing. Well, you did all the work, Jennifer. I mean, we guided you to seeing how easy it actually is, but you're the one who, you know, showed up every day and did the practice. You know, even if it's only an hour a day, you did it every day and kept coming back and kept making progress. And also that, you know, you mentioned it earlier, the calling yourself on your own bullshit, right? Being honest with yourself, saying, well, hey, Jennifer, is today going to be the day that you're going to stop misreading things? Because one of these days, if you want to get these points, if you want to get it right, not wrong, you have to stop misreading it. And you're the one that did that. We couldn't do that for you. So congratulations, Jennifer. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for coming on the show. Please definitely keep us posted with your application cycle and let us know if there's anything either of us can do to help you networking for jobs or whatever it might be. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.